Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
Call his wife in. What a good morning it is on this Tuesday morning. 404, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. We got Fleeks on the other side. And we're all celebrating as the New York Knicks take a 3-1 lead over the Boston Celtics with finally what we've been asking for, a good basketball game. Because quite honestly, and I was listening to the Celtics radio. We played some highlights. And I just saw another thing on YouTube or on Twitter. And he made listen, this was the game we expected at some point from the Knicks. When we look back at this series, it's really won with the heroics of games 1 and 2. That's where it's won. Those games aren't supposed to be wins. The defending champs are supposed to take care of business up 20 points at home. Those are the games that you talk about when why they're up 3-1 is those heroics of the second halves of those two games. This is a game the Knicks were supposed to have. There was at least one of these games coming, and the second half of this game is where they finally got their offense together and were the team they really were all year long. And what we saw, the biggest dynamic in this game to me, the post game was talking about it on MSG. Wally Szczerbiak was talking about it in the crunch time. After obviously the Celtics get off to the hot start, White hits all those threes at the start of the game. They're down 16-6 early on. The Knicks make a run and boom, they hit 4 threes in a row and take an 11-point lead after one. Second quarter kind of goes the same way. They each score 23, 11-point lead at the half. The Celtics are hitting their threes, not to the level of the other night in Game 3, but still better than Games 1 and 2. Tatum's having a much better game than he had in Games 1 and 2. And you're hoping that just keeping it close, that this Knicks team will eventually find itself offensively. And then in that third quarter, Jalen Brunson took over. He took over the basketball game in that third quarter. They found ways to get him the ball. He was getting to the rim. He was hitting threes. He was creating looks for OG Anunoby. He was creating looks for Deuce McBride. He was creating looks for, obviously, Karl Anthony Towns, who was getting rebounds. Him and Mitch, the two bigs, were creating problems defensively and getting offensive rebounds. 5 offensive rebounds from Mitch Robinson in this game. Creating second chance points. They were doing everything you wanted to do. And then in the fourth quarter, Mikal Bridges took over the game. And the Celtics had no answers, neither defensively or anywhere else to go offensively. And that's really the biggest thing. Mikal Bridges at the start of that fourth quarter and his ability to score, get to the basket, get easy buckets, get those mid-range shots that he's so good at and hit all of them and dominate the game and put it on his shoulders to be the guy for them while Tibbs is giving a blow to the best player and the most clutch player in the NBA, Jalen Brunson at the start of the fourth quarter, his ability to get those buckets and the Celtics' inability to have anything else going offensively. They had tough shot after tough shot. It was either, you know, Tatum getting those tough shots and making them or the team chucking up threes. They have nowhere else to go. The Knicks can go to OG Anunoby. The Knicks can go, obviously, to Jalen Brunson getting to the basket. The Knicks were running screens at the baseline. The Knicks have, you know, the ability to get quick and easy buckets with Mikal Bridges' short range game. Karl Anthony Towns can get to the rim. They had a bunch of different ways to get baskets, and the Celtics had none other than some hero ball from Tatum, who was great in this game up until his obviously devastating injury, which is a key to this game. That play, the steal, the dunk, the injury, it's probably the signature play of the game, but the game was decided by that point. The Knicks had done enough to win that basketball game, and they finally played their really best offensive half of really, I think you could argue, other than the 21-0 run in game one against the Pistons, going all the way back to that, this was about as good an offensive half as the Knicks have played this entire postseason. And they finally put it together, and they were bound to do so. And they found themselves in the second half of this game. Bridges found himself in the fourth quarter. Brunson took over the game in the third. And they go into the third quarter down 11 and leave up three and never look back. And right now, when you consider where the Celtics are dealing with their best player having a devastating, what looks to be devastating Achilles injury, lost for the series for sure, possibly lost for next postseason, who knows, wondering if he'll ever be the same player again that he was as he was scoring 42 points in this game last night. They're dealing with that. They're dealing with down 3-1. They're dealing with the pressure of trying to repeat as champions. They're dealing with a lot. And the New York Knicks are up 3-1. The crowd, despite how much money the tickets were worth, were incredible in this game. The atmosphere, the whole nine, taking over 7th Avenue outside the Garden after the game. This is the biggest, most significant victory the Knicks have had in 25 years. And this is a moment right now, and they are one win away from going back to an Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2000. And in my mind, pulling off the biggest upset in my lifetime and possibly in the franchise history of the New York Knicks. Like, that's how significant of an upset this would be. And they are one win away. And then you get past that, and I know we don't want to, but the idea of the New York Knicks winning an NBA championship is no longer some pipe dream. It is no longer a fool's errand. It is no longer something that only the most pie-in-the-sky kind of Knick fan could even dream of. They are there. Right now, they are favorites. If you want to go bet the Knicks to win the Eastern Conference Finals, bring your pocketbook because you ain't getting a good deal. They are the favorites in the Eastern Conference. They are the second favorites to win the NBA championship. This is now a reality. Now, they have to go out and do it. And it won't be easy. Hell, taking this fourth game won't be easy. But you look at it, the Pacers are a damn good basketball team. They're not unbeatable. They're not someone the Knicks can't handle. Now, they could lose that series, but they're going to be favorites in it. They already are favorites in it. This is a series the Knicks can win. It is no longer pie in the sky. There's no way the Knicks are getting to an NBA Finals. Specifically because they're about to knock off the main team that no one thought they could get past. When you said the Knicks can't get to an Eastern Conference Finals, the Knicks can't get to an NBA Finals, the reason they couldn't do it is because the Boston Celtics would be standing in their way. And they still are, but they stand there down 3-1. And the Knicks need to win one game of the next three to move on to an Eastern Conference Final against a team that they are absolutely as good or better than, will be favored to win the series and can send themselves to an NBA Finals for the first time since 99 and on a path that we haven't felt in forever. Today is a day to celebrate. They still have got one more game to take, but this is as good as it gets for us Knicks fans. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Ben in Princeton. What's up, Ben?
Ben, good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Brother.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Man. You know what? I said it to you before, I'm going to say it to you again. Let me give you your flowers and your praise, brother, because you were one of the few, and I mean the few, that was in the media that said the Knicks could win this series. And
yep.
I didn't doubt it, right? But I said, wow, that's a stretch. As a longtime Knicks fan. But you made me believe, and you made me believe in more. Saturday was a disappointment.
No doubt.
I had no doubt. Like we spoke yesterday morning, I had no doubt that we were going to respond in a positive way. And watching the game last night, when Boston went on that run at the end of the first quarter,
yeah,
I wasn't worried. Every challenge that Boston threw when they went on the run, the Knicks had an answer.
Yep.
They might not have tied it, but they came back. They got it within 6 to 5.
Absolutely. They hung in there. There was never a moment where you really, even down 14, if 14 wasn't enough, yep, and the way the game was going, it wasn't enough to make me really feel like the Knicks are in major trouble. Like, obviously, you don't want to be down 14, but it never felt like the Celtics are going to pull away the way they did in game number 3. I always felt like they kept it close enough and were playing well enough where I had faith that they could get back into the game. Not that they would win it, like to your point. When they're down 14, I'm not saying to myself they have them right where they want them, but it didn't feel like game three. It felt like they can get back into this game.
But not even game three. I throw game three out because the Knicks didn't show up for that. But even game two or game one, it never extended to 20.
Right.
Right? The Knicks always had an answer. It never extended to 20 where we said, oh my God, they're in trouble. They're not going to win this game.
Yeah.
Right? Even with Boston hitting their threes. And I said, I had the belief that the Knicks would somehow keep it close and pull it out in the end. And it was gut check time. Like you said yesterday morning, we're going to see what these Knicks are made of.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud. So proud. Listen,
no,
Chris,
we should be proud of this team. This team has earned our respect. This team has earned our love. This team has earned being proud of. I mean, they have done everything you could. They've responded to everything. No, and that's why I said, that's why I pushed back. And thank you for the call, Ben, and thank you for the kind words. I want to make it clear. I'm not saying I predicted the Knicks to win. I did not. I gave them a chance. Many people didn't give them a chance, but I'm not taking bows for that. I will take bows for telling you game three was not a must win. That I'll take bows on. Because everyone I turned to was like, no. They gotta win game three. It's the most important game of the series. If the Celtics gain momentum in this series, like I was sick of that, because I trust this team too much to say if any momentum changes, they can't handle it. Was the momentum in their favor where they're down 20 points in the third quarter in back-to-back games on the road? Was momentum in their favor? Like, they've shown they can come back, that they can handle a little momentum shift. It's a series against the best team in the land. It's a series against the defending champs. I expected momentum to be in the Celtics' favor at some point and still believe in this team. And even after the effort of game number three, I came out, my open yesterday was, wash it. Just get rid of it. Don't worry about it. It was a terrible effort. They got their ass kicked and we move on. I expect this team to show up for game number four. That's what they've earned. They've earned that from us. To not fear that if at any moment, like unless this series went perfect and they never faced adversity, then maybe they could win it. But the second that Boston found themselves, this thing would be over. Like I never felt that way. Not after coming back twice on the road down 20. I flushed game number three the second it was over. I was annoyed. I was pissed. I didn't love the effort. Clearly not. But I flushed it. And I said, they didn't have to win game three. They only needed to win one of these next two, and they managed to do it in game four, and they have shown us everything. I don't know how you can doubt this team. They still might not win it. They still might not win this series. It's crazy as it sounds. They still have to win another game against Boston, but whatever, I will never doubt them again. They are going to show up. They are tougher than we gave them credit for during the course of the season. At the end of these games, they find a way. And the Celtics cannot. And that's not going to change in this series. The only way they're going to lose is in blowout fashion. I firmly expect this team, if the game is close at the end of the game, to find a way to win. That's what they've done. That's what they've proved. And right now, I am as pumped for a team wearing this uniform as I have been my entire life. Like, that's it. As my entire life, back when, in the mid-90s when they were everything. This is what it feels like, man. I can't wait. And the idea that they can win an NBA championship is actually on the table. It is not some sort of distant reality. It's right here in front of us. Rudy in Harlem. What's up, Rudy?
Hi there.
Hi there, Rudy.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
And you, I agree with the other caller, the one we just finished speaking to. And I agree with you also. I felt the same way as soon as they beat the Pistons. I said to myself, oh, wow, now the Boston Celtics. Oh, no. I said, here we go. And I felt like we had no chance.
Yeah.
No chance at all. I couldn't believe it was very close. And then when they won the first two in Boston, I said, all right.
You said, wow. All right.
But then I didn't want to get too excited, though. You know why?
No.
Because I was working at a store called Robin Hall on 34th Street. 34th Street, back in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 78 years old, by the way. So anyway,
okay.
I made a bet with a guy. I worked in the mailroom. This is in 1994 now.
Yeah.
They got down to the championship game against the Rockets.
Right.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So I got nervous, but I made a $40 bet. I said, there's no way. You crazy? Of course I'll bet you. Three games to one. We 3 games to one. What are you talking about? The guy bet me, and there you go. Lost my money.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's not bring up losing to the Rockets in Game 6 and Game 7 and John Starks and, you know, 1 for 18 or whatever. We don't need to go there. Let's not go Hakeem Olajuwon today. Let's forget that Rocket series. Kenny Smith and Vernon Maxwell and Sam Cassell. I don't need Rudy Tomjanovich. We can forget all about those guys today. Let's get into this series. And right now, I mean, look, it's still a very difficult road. It's not easy, but they got to figure out a way to win one game against the Boston Celtics for the best upset they've had in forever. I mean, you think the Knicks have taken over the town now with the way they've taken over the $1,000 ticket prices and out in the streets of Manhattan last night. I mean, they beat the Boston Celtics, and they move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. They move on to the NBA Finals. I mean, I can't even fathom the Knicks in the NBA Finals. I can't even fathom it. It's so out there and so, you know, hard to imagine. They have been the doormat of the NBA for 2 decades. They've been as bad as it gets. They've been as dysfunctional. They've been as poorly run. They've missed on their drafts are like so laughable. You go and look at the drafts and the guys they passed on, right? Knox instead of Mitchell or whatever else it's just embarrassing how bad they have been for so long. And they are on the precipice of the biggest upset of my lifetime. It's crazy.
Meetings, errands, screaming kids, all while scrolling box scores. We get it, and we got you, New York Sports. No filter. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Knicks fans, let's go. 888-808-1019. Let's get to all your calls as we take you for another half hour to the warm-up show. As we all celebrate what was as good a victory as the Knicks have had in 25 years, they still have one more before they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Still have one more against what is going to be clearly a desperate Celtic team, missing their best player, but still a defending champ that will be desperate in their home building. It's not going to be easy for game number 5. I'm hoping they end it there, but if not, they can come back for a game 6 on Friday night. But now this is the one thing that is, I mean, this would be, we do have to play devil's advocate for a second. They have to, I mean, we knew they had to win the series up 2-0, up 3-1 without Tatum. Now they have to. Now you're talking about what would be the most devastating loss in franchise history. Like, again, I can't imagine a worse one. I'm trying to rack my brain. This would now be the worst loss. I'm not even going to talk about that because we're celebrating. But if you got to play devil's advocate for a second, you got to get this last one. I want to get it as quickly as possible. I actually feel more like everybody was pushing the game 3 was a must-win narrative. I actually feel more of, I think game 5 is not a must-win, but it's more of a must-win than for me than game 3 was. Because without Tatum, now it brings a dynamic of they're hopeless. I want to keep that. I want to keep that going. I don't want to give them any feeling of, hey, we can win without him. But ultimately, they've got 3 games to win one before they move on. And the path to an NBA championship is unfolding before us. 888-808-1019. Let's get to him. Omar in Brooklyn. How are we feeling, Omar?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. That was a great victory. Mm-hmm. And whenever you see, like, when Tatum was hitting those threes, and they were responding back with threes and twos and a basket, you know what I felt? I said, man, this time around, they are hitting those threes, and we are responding.
Yep.
I didn't feel at any moment that we're not going to come back. Mm-hmm. I just had a feeling in that game that I didn't feel like on game 3, on the halftime, I felt, man, this is not going to be Right. They're not coming back from this.
Right.
There is nothing on that 14-point. Right away, they brought that 7-0 run or 9-0 run right away, like in 2 minutes back. I said, yeah. Man, they are loading. They're not quitting tonight. They're not. They haven't quit anyhow, but they are responding back, and they are in a rhythm. Carl Anthony Towns is playing. Every starter played good tonight. Mitchell played good tonight. Tibbs, listen. Put your pumps your brakes on the Eastern Conference Finals. First, finish this series off. Secondly, the thing is, the first two, why I said that we are going to beat Boston, that I thought that our head coach is better than Mazzulla. I thought that against Detroit Pistons, our head coach is better than him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Tibbs is better than Rick Carlisle. If he comes in. And I told everybody, that Rick, everybody talks about Cleveland, he's a very good coach. But the reality is, Rick Carlisle, to me, is the best coach in the league right now. And that's Rick Carlisle and the Miami Heat coach, I will consider the best coaches in this league.
Yeah.
Yes, well, these are the two coaches that I adore a lot. So he has all the times comes up with something that I don't like. So I want to put pumps on the brake. Let me see, Indiana. I want to beat Indiana.
Yeah, I want revenge.
I want revenge from last year.
Let's go.
That it's going to come to it. Let's go. Finish this in game five, man. I want to finish Boston Garden. I know we haven't finished any series in 25 years, 30 years. But come on, it will happen. But I want to finish in Boston and want to that Boston crowd to leave the floor and we celebrate. Let's do it in game five better than I. And make it easy for Sal, too, that he has to go to a Friday game so he can go and enjoy the game without that hesitation that he's not in the next game.
I know. And I hear you, Omar. Mitchell's on hold. Part of the reason I had to force say no is I envision a game six. I can't. It's going to be tough for me to not watch game six of this series if that's the case. So yeah, hopefully they finish it in five. I'm with you, but I'm not moving on. I'm just being honest. Like when with wins like this, you get a second. Knicks fans haven't really had a chance to legitimately dream of where we are. It's been a pipe dream. It's not been a real tangible thought that they could actually get to the NBA Finals. So you know what? I know it's, what Boomer says, touching the money. I'm not touching the money. I'm not guaranteeing a victory. I'm just saying off of this win, let's just take a second to think that the Knicks are favored to come out of the Eastern Conference Finals, that it's not some sort of pipe dream, that it's not some sort of impossibility that we are just trying to convince ourselves is a possibility. Like the reason we didn't think this was possible is because the Celtics were standing on our way. And now it's one game away from eliminating that hurdle. And it feels good. It feels good. Jeff in Fort Lee. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Chris. I talked to you on Saturday.
What's going on?
Yeah. A couple quick points. We got a caller. A couple of callers earlier. Three runs Rockets. 3-2, not a big deal.
No, it wasn't 3-1, 3-2. I know. Yeah, it wasn't 3-1.
It's offensive well. It's not as bad, right? No, I'm kidding. We got to hope that it looks like the Cavs are going to lose because they don't have Mitchell either, I don't think. So we got to hope at least the Cavs can extend the series, wear down the Pacers a little bit for us.
Mm-hmm.
And also, last year we took that Pacers team, who I don't think they made any significant changes. It was 7th game with all of our injuries.
Yeah.
Now we have Mitchell back. We have OG fully healthy, except for that little hamstring issue.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. But he looked fine.
No, he played well the second half. So yeah, he looked fine.
I mean, wrap your head around the idea that the Knicks could be in a finals, and I don't want to touch the money, but what happens in the finals? You never know, right? Can you imagine?
No, you get into a series with anybody. I don't care who it is. You get into a series with OKC. You get into a series with Denver. You get into a series with Minnesota. Who's taking a commanding lead? Like anything could happen in a 7-game series. So I mean, we're talking about And I don't want to move. I don't want to just move on to the Eastern Conference Finals because they do have one more win to get. I'm not, and it's not going to be easy by any stretch. But there's no doubt about it. Like when you get to this point, it's just acknowledging that holy bleep, like we are here. We didn't. We never thought we'd get here, even with this team this year. Not just, never mind where we've been over the last 20 years. Like, this team this year, when they were getting their ass kicked by the Boston Celtics in the regular season, like, nobody thought this was plausible. Like, all right, they're going to have a good year. They're going to finish, you know, at worst, the 4 seed. They're going to be a top 3-4 seed. They're probably going to win in the first round. But then, I mean, that's the end of the road. And we got to figure out how they make this team better because they're incapable of getting past the second round. That was the prevailing thought. And unless you were this pie-in-the-sky idiot, that was your reality as a Knicks fan. And reality has changed. Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's up, Ray? What's going on?
Listen, you know I'm chilling. I got to go deliver some mail in a few hours. I don't know if people getting the right mail or what, but
does it matter? Not today.
It doesn't matter. No. Call the supervisor if you got a problem. I'm close friends with this person, so it doesn't matter. See, Mac, listen. Look, first let me say this about our New York Yankees, right? Listen, everybody, let's give credit where credit's due. We were left for dead twice. When Soto left was the first time. The second time was when Cole got injured, Gil got injured, and Stanton all got injured simultaneously in the preseason. And this team is exceeding a lot of people's expectations. Not yours and mine, because we've been consistent on this, but a lot of people and a lot of the morons who picked the Boston Red Sox. And, you know, they look like a hot mess right now. But,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
But listen, the offense has been on a little bit of an explosion here. They're still only 3 games up with the Boston Red Sox. But let's move on to the Knicks, right? Tonight is the Knicks show. We'll have plenty of time. I'm on after the Yankee game tomorrow night. We'll have plenty of time to talk about how the Yankee offense is absolutely dominating at the moment. But right now, we are talking Knicks.
Absolutely. I just wanted to throw that in there for all the Mets.
I got you.
But yeah, so
we'll settle scores tomorrow, Ray. Today we're celebrating the Knicks.
Oh, all right, so with the Knicks, right? I called you a show prior to the series, and I might have been the only one who said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks won in 6 or 7 or lost in 6 or 7. I'm happy to say that I was wrong because we're probably winning in 5. But and I don't want see Matt. I don't want any damn excuses. Last year, you know, Tommy, who makes us laugh all the time with his stuff, you know, he said, you know, we lost to attrition. That's partially right. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Indiana Pacers did not beat a healthy New York Knicks.
No.
In fact, if you recall, OG Anunoby had 30 points at the half of game 3, and we had a lead in a game in which teams that don't have Thibodeau and Brunson as a leader, providing that leadership to keep us hungry. We had the lead in the game 3 where most teams get blown out going on the road, you know, to a hungrier team. That's what I love about this team. People are psychoanalyzing their, you know, like their demeanor and everything after game 3. I called into the afternoon show. I don't know if you heard it. I'm like, Tiki, we got to stop with that. Didn't we learn with Eli Manning? We can't tell just from the surface. Some of these guys are just killers on the inside, and they don't need, you know, to exert themselves, you know, physically or whatever for us to see, because these guys are just leaders in the locker room and stuff like that.
Yeah, and, no, and Ray, thanks. I want to get to the other calls. I appreciate your call. But, yeah, no, listen, I agree. Sometimes, whether it's with Juan Soto right now or we read too much into body language, I go by what I see. And this team doesn't give up. And this team has now battled back in the 3 games they've won. They've been down 20 points twice and 14 points in this game. I mean, they battle back, man. They are tough. And that's why when everyone else was screaming game 3 is the most important game of the series and it's a must win, I was like, no, it's not. It's not. Because when you say that, you indicate that you don't believe the Knicks can come back from one loss in this series. And I always thought the Knicks were capable of coming back. And I knew that this series was going to be won on those 2 games because this was a game coming. When everyone said it was going to be a gentleman sweep, this was the game we envisioned being the one game the Knicks would get. The idea they stole those 2 was what made the series in the favor of the Knicks because this game was coming. And they played it in the second half, and we were talking about it earlier. They kept bouncing back from every run the Celtics made, and vice versa. The Celtics kept bouncing back. The Knicks went on a 11-0 run to take they were down 16-6. Next thing you know, it's 17-16, and then boom, 4 straight 3-pointers to end the first quarter, and they're down 11. And you're like, man, The Knicks just battled back and got back into this game, and the Celtics on four possessions have taken an 11-point lead. And then what Tatum was doing in the fourth quarter, like, they had to keep coming up with answers. And in the end, the Knicks have more answers than the Celtics. Believe it or not, as talented as the Celtics are, defending champs, when it comes down to execution and ways to score at the end of the game, believe it or not, the Knicks have more answers than the Boston Celtics do. And now without Tatum, they certainly have more answers. Kyle in West Orange. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's going on? You and I talked about this before, and one of the main thing I'm starting to see, they continue, the Knicks continue with their scoring. So somebody responded, talked about it earlier, Omar, I think. They are responding nicely. But you need to get it through their four guys, like I said before, and we're doing that. Another thing that I see the Knicks are doing, defense. They're going up, getting their, you know, you just can't, you know, of course, guys are going to do easy layups, but they're also attesting a lot of shots and making it not easy for these Celtics to get shots off, and they're getting a lot of rebounds. So that's a good thing. And I think the Celtics, you tell me, I think the Celtics are getting worn out because they got to chase the Knicks. You got Chase Brunson. You got Chase Bridges. You got Chase OG and Hart and all these guys, and they use their time wisely. They use the shot clock, all of it, and they're making their shots. And the Celtics are getting worn out within, like, you're looking at the end of the third and end of the fourth. You're seeing what's going on. And they can't, and they're just like, I just, and now with this, you know, KP hasn't been that good, as a lot of people thought, right? He's dealing with something. And now you're looking now, this thing with Tatum, which, look, you're sad that this happens, but it happens in sports. And these are the—
Oh, absolutely, Kyle, and thank you for the call. I'm up against the break. No one's feeling sorry for the Celtics. I feel sorry for Tatum, not the Celtics. They're going to have to figure it out. And, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say they're getting worn out at the end of these games. I mean, the Knicks are certainly playing better than them at the end of these tightly contested games. The Knicks are finding ways to get the baskets. The Celtics don't. The Knicks take a 12-point lead in this game. The Knicks, this wasn't like the last couple where they were down 20 and they found a way to pull it out and it came down to the last possession. The Knicks dominated the third and fourth quarter and pulled away. So, I mean, yeah, you could say, I don't know if I see a tired Celtic team necessarily, but I can't argue with you, and they're clearly the lesser team in the fourth quarter of all these games. So that could be part of it. I think the minutes, right? We can have a conversation about the minutes and Tibbs because they look fresher. And their shots are falling better. But really, it just comes down to better options. And they don't have any except shooting threes or giving the ball to Tatum, and now they don't have that. At the end of the game, that's what it felt like. They're going to shoot threes, and Tatum's going to take his, you know, fadeaways and his big-time shots, and he was hitting all of them. But the Knicks have Karl-Anthony Towns. The Knicks have OG Anunoby, who's getting to the rim. They have, obviously, Brunson, who dominated the third quarter, and specifically Bridges, who started the fourth quarter like a house of fire, hitting all those mid-range jump shots. 888-808-1019, more options to score. Believe it or not, as great as the Celtics are, it just feels like if they hit their threes at a crazy clip, they're going to win. If they don't, down the stretch of these games, the Knicks are going to find a way to out-execute them. That's what it feels like. It's what it's been. And hopefully that's what it continues at least one more time over the next three.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 4:51. Let's get through as many calls as we can, rapid fire style. We're going to actually keep to it because you guys are all on the line getting ready to talk some Knicks. Basketball, well, I'm sure you could do it all day long. I know Al and Jerry might not take calls, but maybe they will today. I don't know. Not out of the realm of possibility. But all day long, stick to the Fan as we celebrate a huge victory. It was two good wins for our baseball teams as well. Obviously, a couple of key injuries. Oswaldo Cabrera goes down with a devastating, what seems to be an ankle issue, ankle injury. I don't know why that was tough to say. And we hope the best for him, as it was really rough. Ambulance, the whole nine, so hopefully he's okay. But it looks to be a devastating season-ending injury. We'll see, obviously, the Tatum injury as well. But the New York Knicks, both baseball teams win. And, of course, the New York Knicks take a 3-1 lead. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Oh, Big Mac, what a game last night. What a game. Goodness. I got to tell you, the Garden, I remember when I went, you used to go to the Garden back, way back when in the 80s and 90s when the Knicks were good. But being there last night was a totally different game. At one point, when the Knicks went down the first time by 10, I said, here it goes. And then they came back. Then they went down the second time. Then they came back. They just played with heart. And you know what? It's great. You know, like you said, Tatum got injured. I hope he's not injured that bad, but it doesn't look like he's done for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And you know what? The Knicks got to win tomorrow night and call it a day. And then I don't have to hear from you and Sal saying, well, I can't go to the game on Friday night. We got to watch. Sal already called me last night. We're on the phone. Text me.
Yeah, I hear you, Mitch. And listen, I'll tell you, if they win tomorrow night, I'll hit you and Sal up and see if those tickets are still available. But I know you got to do what you got to do. Either way, thank you. You still there?
Hello?
Yeah.
If they win, if the Knicks win tomorrow night, are you in Friday night? Yes or no?
I think so, yes, because I kind of worked it out with my mother. I think yes. I needed someone to watch
the kids.
So I'll revision it tomorrow. Your line's a little noisy, too. I had a couple issues. One, my wife is chaperoning an event at school, so I'd have to get a babysitter, but I think I kind of worked that out. The other thing, I have to admit, I want to watch Game 6. I can't be at a baseball game during a Knick Game 6 of this magnitude. It would be very difficult for me. And as great as the seats would be right behind Juan Soto, apparently, like, I don't intend to boo Juan Soto. I don't intend to cheer Juan Soto. I really don't care about being right behind Juan Soto. I just want to go see the Yankees beat the Mets. And but I'd rather watch the Knicks beat the Celtics. So, but yes, I'll tell you what. If they wrap it in five and there is no basketball game Friday night, I will hit you up and see if I can mooch off you and go to the game. Thank you very much, Mitchell. Let's go to Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, as much as it's enjoyable listening to all the Knicks talk and everything, I got to say, I think there's one person in particular I'm rooting for that they win, and it's got to be Omar, I got to say, because I think the reaction, if they were to win this thing, the reaction will just be epic. I mean, the way he reacts now, I mean, if they were to win, I think, I'm not even sure
win
you guys
the
would
series
be able to
or win,
the
win just the series or win the entire thing?
I mean, as far as they can go. I mean, if they can win the whole thing, I mean, that'll just be classic radio, I think.
Yeah, no, you know, listen. Sign for it. Let's go. Let's get a Knick championship in here. I don't even know how we'd handle it. Let's get there, and then it'll be a new experience for all of us, most of us at least.
Absolutely. You'd have to record every episode, I think.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of the night, you know.
All right, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Brett in Long Island is up next on the Fam. What's up, Brett?
I have to criticize the 36-year-old coach that doesn't make in-game decisions. I'm not afraid of the Celtics anymore. If they hit 33-point shots, you're not beating them. It's just the way it is.
Yep.
But they're not going to do that for three games in a row. I know we won a championship, but, like, I watched the games. Okay, they hit threes. They're up by 10, 14, 20. But then they miss two or three in a row. We keep fighting. I like Thibodeau's style. Just you got to keep it within 10, 12.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're two big men combined for 7 points, the Celtics. So they're one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And it's finally catching up. And now you lost one of their best three-point shooters. I don't know if you feel the same way. That's what I'm watching. There's no... They don't drive. They pass the ball three times and chuck it. And yes, White hit four in a row.
Yeah.
But like, Chris, you think they're going to do this? Like, they can't.
No.
Not for three more in a row.
Yeah,
just keep the style, Thibodeau, you know?
No, Brett, I completely agree with you. In a very straightforward sports call from Brett in Long Island, I agree with everything he said. They seem one-dimensional, particularly at the end of the games. Like, they have, you know, again, they have some things going on. They're able to get to the basket a little bit. We saw Pritchard with a really nice, spin and scoop to the rim. They're capable of it, but when it matters most, they don't have the ability to really find it. If it finds them throughout the course of the game, it happens. But when they need a basket, there is no real set. There is no real game plan to create anything other than threes. They create threes. Other things can happen, other off loose balls or... You know, you decide to take someone off the dribble for a second and it works. Like, things can find them throughout the course of the game where they can get points outside of shooting threes. But when they get into a fight, when they get into a back and forth, when the Knicks are going on runs at the end of these games and they need a basket, they can't create anything other than open threes, or at least attempt to create open threes. And if they don't fall, they're in trouble. I completely agree with you. They become one-dimensional. Now, last night they had the ability to be two-dimensional because the other dimension was just Tatum, and he was in another dimension. Like, I mean, he was on fire. His 42 points, he was extremely impressive. Defensively, too, throughout the game, he was getting steals. He was handsy. He was great. He played an incredible basketball game. It sucks that it ended for him in that manner. It does. No one's rooting for it. No Knick fan is happy about it. I want to beat him straight up. And I count last night as straight up. That game was decided before that foul. Last night was straight up. They have a 3-1 lead over the defending champs straight up. Now, they're going to get the last one without Tatum. Or at least, hopefully, they're going to get the last one without Tatum. But yeah, I agree with you. They are a one-dimensional team who relied heavily on Tatum in this game. And moving forward, if they get into this, if it's a 5-point game or a 4-point game, one way or the other, with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, the Knicks have options. It feels like the Celtics don't. Now, if the Celtics hit threes down the stretch of that game, they can win. But I agree with you. They don't have another layer. They, as was the word, I forget who used it in the post game, but that was like a good word. They don't. I think it was either Alan Hahn or like they don't have another layer of offense. They pass the ball really well. We saw it in the beginning of this game. Boop, boop, boop. The ball doesn't even touch the floor. Bing, 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 bang. To quote the great one. Like, they just move it around, create space, and hit shots. And early in the game, they were going after Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns was having real problems getting to the perimeter, and they were going right at him with threes. But down the stretch of the game, as long as they're not getting offensive rebounds, as long as they're making it tough, you know, the Knicks have answers offensively. The Celtics don't. Bill for the last call of the show. Bill in Northampton. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, hey, Chris. I really enjoy your show. Appreciate your energy. Been a fan of the Knicks since the early 70s, and since then it's been almost torturous to be a fan.
No doubt.
But Mikal Bridges had an outstanding performance, but I want to remind you and the listeners what he did against Victor Wembanyama when they played San Antonio early this year. That was the other time he gave us a glimpse of what we saw last night.
Yeah, and he hit the buzzer beater against Portland as well. But no, this was his best game, and when Tatum was still going off in this game and Brunson was on the bench in the beginning of the fourth quarter, he decided to say, I'm the guy. And he attacked the rim, and he hit these you know, very high percentage shots for him, these mid-range game shots, which is his bread and butter, and he was phenomenal in it. So that's it, baby. One more win. What an impressive game last night. How excited we all are. Enjoy the rest of your day calling into the fan. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.